Issues, etc. Reformation Week begins October 18th. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 4 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues, Etc. Reformation Week.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, we hear more about this guy than we do about some of the apostles of Jesus. Philip is called a deacon, an evangelist. He preaches, he baptizes. He is indirectly responsible for, at least legend would hold, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the continent of Africa. There's a lot to be said about this deacon and evangelist, Philip, on this Monday afternoon, October the 11th, also Columbus Day. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Peter Scarra will join us for the first few minutes. We'll talk about Philip, deacon and evangelist, remembered by the church on this day. Then we're going to be talking about Christians and social media. If you are plugged in, if you have a Facebook page, you're going to want to hear the remainder of this hour of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon. Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary will be our guest. Dr. Peter Scarra is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a regular guest. Peter, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Where do we first find Philip in the New Testament?
Yeah, we find Philip in the book of Acts, which tells the Acts of the Apostles and the growth of the early Christian church. And we find Philip in Acts chapter 6 when in the naming of the deacons. And the story is this, is the apostles were doing their work in Jerusalem, preaching the gospel, and there arose a dispute there in Jerusalem. Kind of a very human thing was happening. The church was taking care of the widows there, the women who had no means by which to help themselves. And there was a dispute between, the Jewish Christians and the Greek Christian women, as to the women from the Greeks were complaining they weren't getting their fair share of the offerings and of the gifts, and the apostles were probably up to their ears at it, and they realized they needed help in the distribution of the money and of the food to these Gentile widows, and you can imagine what kind of uproar that would have been. So that becomes the springboard by which the 12 apostles then named deacons or servants in the church. They named 7, and I think that's significant. The 12 apostles representing, I think, Israel, and I think the 7 is a representative of the world. These 7 now go to help the Gentile, help in the distribution of the food, but they're more than that. They're not like deacons, lay deacons, as we think of them in the church, but they are also, the apostles lay hands on them, and they are indeed become what we would call ministers in the church. And that's where Philip is one of them, along with Stephen, the most famous, who is the first great Christian martyr.
Stephen doesn't last long. Philip apparently is quite busy. There are other places in Scripture where he pops up, the most famous being, of course, the Ethiopian eunuch. But I think that there's one even before that where he is evangelizing a sorcerer, Simon.
Yeah, and Stephen doesn't last long, but because Stephen doesn't, he is martyred for the faith in Jerusalem. But that causes an uproar and a persecution, and it says that the people were scattered from Jerusalem, the Christians. And I think it's not the Christians that were scattered per se, but I think it's really the Christian ministers who were scattered, except for the apostles who feel it is their duty to stay in Jerusalem. So a person like Philip then flees Jerusalem in the persecution, and he ends up going to Samaria. And that's important in the book of Acts because the gospel is said to spread. The prediction is by Jesus it's going to go from Jerusalem first to Samaria outward and then to the ends of the earth. And it's the honor to bringing that gospel to Samaria in the book of Acts goes to Philip. And Philip does all sorts of kind of miracles that you expect Jesus himself to have done. And he preaches the gospel, though. He's a great evangelist. And it's there he meets Simon the sorcerer. And Simon is known for doing, like, you know, great miracles at the time. Everybody thinks he's a wonder worker. But even Simon must bow to the greater work that Philip has done, and he becomes a Christian. In a sense, it reminds me a little bit of the book of Matthew when Jesus is born and the Magi from the east come to worship the child. Now, this Simon character, and he is a character, comes to be converted to the message of Christ Jesus.
So the role of deacon that is assigned to these seven men, and perhaps more, we don't know, you know, what happened after that, does not preclude the fact that in several of their cases, Stephen and Philip, they are also what we could call evangelists, or perhaps even in Philip's case, a pastor.
I think in all seven of their cases, they're pastors. And I think what you said well is it's the role. And here's the thing is the role of deacon is also played by the apostles because it says in the Gospels that the apostles also do diaconal work. In fact, Peter himself is said to do that kind of work. However, within the office of the ministry, there have always been various roles. The apostles play the role as founders of the church. But there are many things that pastors do that they're, you know, in their emphasis, they're called different things. So I'm called a teacher or a professor, but I'm in the office of the ministry. Others are evangelists. That's to say they use their skills within that office to proclaim the gospel, especially to those who have not heard. Some are called prophets. That is to say they're given the gift of speaking boldly the word of God in a culture maybe that is at odds with it. So there are different ways by which the office is found to be expressed. It's one and the same office. And I think these deacons are an expression, expression of part of the, you know, what we as pastors do. And of course, for all of us, this includes preaching the gospel in one way or another.
The most famous story that Philip is involved in is his encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch along the road. Tell us this story, and I mean, this is some pretty amazing stuff, not only in terms of the fact that the man is baptized kind of occasionally there, and then Philip is whisked away, literally, by the Holy Spirit to another place.
Yeah, the book of Acts is a wild and wonderful ride. I mean, it's crazy, and this is a wonderful story. So it's true that Philip is going down the road, and he meets this, the angel of the Lord says to him, go along this road. And he finds this Ethiopian eunuch, and this man is of a very high estate because he works for Candace, who is the queen of Ethiopia. He's the treasurer, so he's a very wealthy man. No doubt he has an entourage. But when Philip meets him, he's there reading the Old Testament, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah, and especially the servant song. A lot of us know these words that talk about Jesus. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter and a lamb before the shearer is silent, but he did not open his mouth, which is a picture of Jesus as he went to the cross. But the Ethiopian eunuch doesn't know, like, what is this about? And really, here, Philip puts in action our Lord's hermeneutic for interpreting the Old Testament. In Luke 24, Jesus says the whole Old Testament, from the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, are all about me, he says. And then Philip teaches the Ethiopian eunuch this passage, showing him that the Old Testament, indeed, in all of its books and all of its ways, pointed to the good news that comes in Jesus.
Does in this sense, with about a minute and a half here, Dr. Scare, does Philip kind of set a template, along with the preaching and the accounts of the other apostles, as to what the entire church is to be doing with the Word of God, how it is to be reading and interpreting and then proclaiming the Old Testament, and eventually in time, also the New Testament, about a minute and a half before we have to wrap up?
Yeah, this Philip is he is a wonderful evangelist, and he's a great example for all of us as we take the gospel on the road. I mean, we see Philip going along the road, and whoever he meets, he is meeting them with the one truth of Jesus Christ. He is helping them to see that the scriptures are about Christ. He's got a kind of an enthusiasm about him, and great things occurred through him, and God worked great things through him because his focus was on Jesus Christ. He opened up the scriptures to people, even as Christ opens up the scriptures to us. And by opening up the scriptures, he brings Christ to people, and he carries out the mandate given to the apostles. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, which Philip does, making disciples, which Philip does, and then baptizing all nations, as Philip does with the Ethiopian eunuch. And really, finally, that's what it's all about. The waiting on tables was one part of what he did. But being an evangelist for the sake of the gospel, that became and really was from the beginning his true mission. And that's the mission of the church.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Christians and the social media. Spending some time talking about Facebook, which is not only the subject of many people's odd hours, but also of a new film, a big blockbuster film, The Social Network. We're going to be talking about how Facebook changes what the basic definition of even things like the word friend and the dangers, the pitfalls, and the discipline of someone who engages in these social media. Dr. Doug Grotheis will be our guest. He's written an article for the latest Christian research journal titled Understanding Social Media, and he's author of several books, including The Soul in Cyberspace. We'll be talking about Facebook, our place in it, your place in it, and what we should be looking out for, both positive and negative, as we encounter one another in cyberspace. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, October the 11th, Columbus Day. When we come back, Dr. Doug Grotheis on the social media.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.